On Tech News Today, Google and Apple kiss and make up, sort of. Plus, Amazon is planning to launch two new surprising services, and Google lets you get rid of ads on your favorite websites for a price. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, November 21st, 2014. This episode is brought to you by Braintree. If you're a developer or manager of a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out Braintree. Braintree's new V.0 SDK makes it easy to support multiple mobile payment types with one simple integration. To learn more and to try out their sandbox, go to BraintreePayments.com/twit. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. Welcome to the show. I'm Mike Elgin, and hello to you, Brian.
Hey there, Mike. I see we're both embracing the beard for Movember.
Yeah, nope. I'm not really wearing a beard.
Oh,
of course.
Whoops.
You can do that in post.
You know, we have the technology.
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we do. And that's why I live in fear. Well, it's Friday and Christina Warren is not here. She's off today. So we're going to it's going to be me and Brian, his brother over here running the prompter. So why don't we jump into the news? Google and Rockstar have agreed to settle their patent case. Rockstar is a consortium that exists to license Nortel patents after that company went bankrupt. But they had a ton of patents. Rockstar members include mostly Apple, but also BlackBerry, Ericsson, Microsoft, and Sony. The terms of the deal were not disclosed. Jeff John Roberts writes about legal issues and other topics for GigaOm and joins us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. Good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Now, Rockstar also sued HTC, Huawei, and Samsung. Are they settling too, or is there any information about that?
Yeah, court filings sort of suggest a big, like, patent peace across the land. What we've seen is a settlement with Google and Rockstar. But also, remember, where Rockstar got really nasty was they sued all Android makers. The idea was just to pose a sort of existential threat to Android and to Google. But checking the court filings, you see the settlement seems to apply across the board. And moreover, Cisco also settled, and I'm suspecting that's going to trigger another wave of settlements with the cable industry. Because recall, Rockstar also wanted to go after everyone who made a router, everyone who did anything, basically. So the bigger news here is it strongly suggests that the patent wars are over. We won't know for sure till we see the details, but that's my initial read of it.
Are they really? I mean, these patents are all around search engine technologies, aren't they? Isn't Apple's main beef with interface, user interface stuff and design?
It is, but I think it's sort of because Google, at a certain point, decided to buy itself a bunch of patents from Motorola and other places, and they're in lawsuits across the world, and it's getting really expensive. The companies can afford it, but I think Tim Cook is more pragmatic than Steve Jobs and has decided, let's just focus on making our stuff rather than playing the dirty patent games. Doesn't mean that all the patent litigation is going to stop. There's a lot of trolls out there who will freelance. But my read is, recall this all began because Steve Jobs vowed to go thermonuclear when he saw Android, and that led to a bunch of sort of crazed lawyers running around suing everyone everywhere. This, to me, represents a big step back. And a little bit of history is helpful. You might remember Nortel, which was sort of a hot item in Canada, a networking maker from like the year 2000. It went bankrupt, and its patents went up for sale in, I think, 2010, right when the patent stuff was peaking. And there was a massive bidding war. Google lost that. It offered $4.4 billion, and it lost that to a consortium of the companies you named, led by Apple, who paid $4.5 billion. And after that, people have just been suing all over the place. But now it seems like they're walking it back and there might be peace in the land.
Now, you suggested that this was kind of that the litigiousness was more of a Steve Jobs thermonuclear war type thing. But hasn't it really worked for them? Hasn't it really worked in their favor? I mean, I think on the one hand, there are certain types of users who get really upset when there's all this litigation and they criticize Apple for being litigious and trying to compete in the courts. But on the other hand, they kind of have been able to establish a sort of public perception that Samsung especially, but other companies, essentially do copy Apple. And hasn't that been good for Apple's reputation?
It depends. I mean, Apple's reputation is as strong as ever. It's just, I think it became a distraction of sorts. in the courts, you have to notice, I mean, they won a couple of judgments that got appealed, and maybe Google paid a little bit of money, Samsung paid a bit. Have they stopped any products from entering the market? No, and it's continuing as ever. But I would argue the Apple brand is probably stronger than the Samsung and the Android brands, but that doesn't have to do with the patent litigation. I think that's just their marketing and the sort of mystique of Apple, which those companies have never captured. And everyone sees, not everyone, a lot of people see Samsung as a copycat. And I'm not sure Apple needed to go down on this patent route to establish that. But you might be right in that it certainly burnishes Apple as the original, if that's worth anything.
Hmm. Jeff John Roberts writes at GigaOhm.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jeff John Roberts. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Thanks, Mike. Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, coming up, Amazon looks like they're launching two more surprising services. But first, I want to tell you about Braintree. If you're a developer or product manager searching for the right payments API, check out Braintree, which is a full-stack payments platform that lets you accept payments in your mobile app or also on your website. They've got an SDK that makes it super easy to support all kinds of payment types. They support Apple Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, all the major debit and credit cards. And Braintree also supports more than 130 global currencies. It's an easy way to accept multiple payment types on mobile devices with one integration. One snippet of code, just 10 lines of in-app code, and you're good to go in like 10 minutes. It's super secure, too. Braintree is tokenized, so users' credit card data is never made available to the merchant's servers. And it's easy for users, too, because they enter in their credit card data once, and then they can go from site to site and buy things without having to re-enter those numbers. The Braintree code supports Android, iOS, and JavaScript clients with SDKs in 7 programming languages. Braintree is used by Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, GitHub, and other popular services. If you're searching for the right payments platform, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK today at braintreepayments.com/twit. You can review their documentation. It's simple and concise. Play around in their sandbox. Give Braintree a try with no commitment and test your integration before going to production. After you integrate Braintree, the first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free. That's braintreepayments.com/twit, and we thank Braintree for their support of Tech News Today. Well, Amazon is planning to launch a travel service as early as January 1st, according to an exclusive at a travel site called Skift. The information was learned from representatives of 3 independent hotels, 2 of which had already signed up for the service. Dennis Schall is the news editor for Skift. He wrote the story, and he joins us now. Welcome to you, Dennis.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Now, would Amazon get a commission on this? How does this work exactly?
Yeah, Amazon would get a standard 15% commission from the hotels, although the hotels could try to negotiate a lower commission. And it's that's pretty hotel friendly, because if you contrast that with Expedia, they'll get like a 25% commission. And Amazon is doing this in a really, the way they're going after the hotel market is pretty smart. First of all, they're going after the drive market. So if you live, within 2 to 3 hours, not if you live, if you want to take a vacation within 2 to 3 hours of, say, New York, Los Angeles, or Seattle, they're targeting those hotels and resorts, independent hotels that are often overlooked by the big OTAs. And like I said, they're doing it in a hotel-friendly way, which is really different than some of the other big players.
Yeah. Now, how is this different from previous travel-related services Amazon has attempted in the past?
Well, in 2001, they partnered with Expedia, and Expedia was offering, flights, hotels, and cars. But then you'd have to, navigate over to Expedia to complete the booking. It was really Expedia's show. And that apparently went nowhere. Then in 2006, Amazon partnered with Sidestep, which was acquired a year later by Kayak. Sidestep was, your typical travel search engine. They find the deals. And then again, you'd have to go navigate over first to Sidestep and then to a hotel site in order to complete the booking. So Amazon figures that, going the third party route doesn't really work in travel. And now they're trying to do it on their own.
Now, do you have any reason to believe that Amazon might expand into flights and other travel services?
Well, it would seem, I'm not sure about flights, but other services would seem natural. You could imagine that they would get into vacation rentals or, ground transport, maybe Uber or car rentals with something like this. And it's also a great entree into Europe, where independent hotels are much stronger than the chains over there. So I think they're doing it pretty smart. But I also don't think that Expedia and Booking.com are shaking in their boots at this point. You know, Amazon is starting from scratch. Booking.com has relationships with 550,000 hotels around the world. So it is very early days, but very interesting.
If I were them, I would shake in my boots, because Amazon has a reputation for undercutting everybody on price until everybody else is on the ropes, and then they either just drive them out of business, or they just keep them in a marginal position, or they buy them at pennies on the dollar like they did with diapers.com. So maybe this could turn into a threat, maybe it won't. And like you say, they're kind of dabbling in this apparently at this point. Now, Dennis, you haven't been on the show before. Can you tell us a little bit about Skift? What is Skift exactly?
We are the largest travel industry news site in the world. After a short 2 years in existence, we cover the entire travel industry. And unlike other travel industry or other B2B news sites, we believe that travel news doesn't have to be boring. You know, we try to make it accessible to people. We cross over into the consumer world, and we're strong in covering hotels and tourism sites. We also issue trends reports every 2 weeks on the hottest trends in travel, mobile booking, the local trend in hotels, all sorts of things like that.
Wonderful. Dennis Schall is at skift.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Den Schall. That's DenSchall. Thanks for joining us, Dennis.
Thanks a lot.
Another, Amazon is launching new stuff news. The company is also planning to launch a free ad-supported streaming video service, according to an exclusive in all of places, the New York Post. The service would coexist with the current paid Prime Video service, according to the report. The Wall Street Journal reported such plans in March, but Amazon denied it back then. Amazon Instant Video is now the second largest paid streaming video service in North America, accounting for about 2.6% of downstream traffic. Amazon could use the free service to gain viewers, then upsell them into Amazon Prime. Google yesterday launched a service that lets websites offer ad-free viewing for a monthly contribution. It's called Google Contributor, and it enables site visitors to choose contributions of $1, $2, or $3 a month, and that replaces the ads on the site with a big thank you message. Google's testing the idea with The Onion, Science Daily, Urban Dictionary, Mashable, and six other sites for now. The $1 to $3 covers the cost of the ad space. In other words, the money that both Google and the ad site would get from advertising from that viewer is then replaced with a voluntary contribution. Interesting idea. Well, we told you a couple of days ago about China's World Internet Conference in Wuhan, where nationwide censorship was temporarily lifted, but only in that town and only during the event. Now we've learned that the Chinese government organizers of the conference tried and failed to rush through a 9-point declaration. The draft of the so-called Wuhan Declaration was slipped under the hotel room doors of conference attendees at around 11 p.m. on the night before the last day when the declaration was to be made. Note that conference attendees included not only Chinese giants like Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, but also international tech leaders like Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Samsung, and LinkedIn. They were given until 8 a.m. to suggest changes to the declaration. That's right, between 11 p.m. and 8 a.m., 9 hours in the middle of the night, to register their objections or make their changes. And it was to be officially proclaimed at the close of the conference that day, but it never happened. Now, some of these things on the declaration, it was a 9-point declaration, and they had these vague concepts like enhanced cyberspace security. Well, everybody can get behind that. But they also had some controversial points. One of them is essentially a promise to not harass China for censorship. The cover letter that accompanied the declaration said in part, quote, respect internet sovereignty of all countries. We should respect each country's right to the development, use, and governance of the internet. Refrain from abusing resources and technological strengths to violate other countries' internet sovereignty, and build an internet order to equality and mutual benefit. In other words, don't bug us when we're censoring the internet. We want to be able to do that, and that should be part of the declaration. They wanted Apple and Microsoft to sign that. They also had another one that basically said, let's not engage in hacking and industrial espionage. And of course, China probably leads the world in industrial espionage-related hacking. And seventh, they had a really weird one. The seventh proclamation was to spread the positive energy. So they're smoking something. I don't know what it is, but I'll have what they're having. Well, we got a few updates. Aereo is going bankrupt, I guess, inevitably. The TV streaming service is filing Chapter 11 after losing a Supreme Court battle and 2 weeks ago laying off a bunch of people. The company will probably go out of business very soon. Aereo launched only 2 years ago. The New York City company let users rent tiny antennas that harvested TV signals from the airwaves and then watched the TV in near real time. They also rented storage space to DVR TV shows that their customers could also watch. Broadcasters sued, saying that Aereo was merely retransmitting their content without paying for it. China and one or two other countries have the ability to shut down the U.S. electric grid in the United States through hack attacks, according to the NSA and Cyber Command Chief Admiral Michael Rogers. His own U.S. Cyber Command reportedly also has the ability to do this to other countries. Rogers said that the identity of the other two countries besides China who are capable of shutting America down is, quote, classified, unquote. And I will translate that for you. They are allies. I'm guessing Israel is one of them. The other one might be Germany or the UK or somebody like that, possibly Canada. Google today announced a holiday promotion that gives new Chromebook buyers 1 terabyte of Google Drive storage free for 2 years. That's a $240 value that can be had with the purchase of a Chromebook costing less than $200. The offer has to be redeemed before January 1st. In other words, if you were planning to jump on the cloud storage bandwagon and you were going to use Google Cloud Storage for 2 years, you can do that and get, in addition to the cloud storage you were going to pay for anyway, a free Chromebook and also $50. Just a thought. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Ron Parry in Ontario, Canada, who says he listens to Tech News Today while building model railroads. Check that out. He's got a whole city in the back of the room there. That's pretty cool. And that is Christina Warren and me on the screen there. Very nice. Very nice. Looks, I hope it's well ventilated. He's got a lot of glue open there. That can be dangerous. Well, how do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of your setup or yourself and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it. That is the Tech News Today. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on good old-fashioned RSS, or you can choose some other way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. Follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and please send us your thoughts and opinions by email to tnt@twit.tv, or just give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. Nobody's going to answer the phone, but you can leave a message. Also, don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight right here on the Twit Network. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you Monday.